Welcome. Okay, everybody. Thanks for being here. We are still going to hold these things in our hands because we have recorded all these conversations over the last number of years, and we want to make sure that we have all of the content that we've kind of been sharing together. And there's others that are going to want to listen to this one that couldn't join us tonight. So it's okay that we still have microphones. That would be good. We're going to hear from Luke in a moment, but let me just bring some context. I made a couple of notes as we were preparing for tonight. So I want to take you back to June 26, 2020. We were in this room. Well, we weren't, but we were. The three of us were in this room starting this conversation 4 years ago. So remember where you were in the pandemic. You've probably tried to forget, but that's...
We were in masks, so we were being 6 feet apart from each other while we were...
Yeah, and we had a horrible night technology-wise. It was just...
Well, it's because I was in charge of that, not Rob.
It was all over the map. But and then I think about that, this journey is older than my almost three-year-old. Wow. Just like wild when you think about that, but kind of crazy.
We had a Champions League win in there too.
You did. You had many good days for Liverpool Football Club. We titled the first conversation before we went into the longer form of this. We titled it. Do you remember what we called it off the top of your head?
I do not.
No, you do not? No. Okay, let me remind you. We titled How Neighbors Become Friends.
That's right.
We started as neighbors and we started to discuss what it would be to be friends and start to actually learn about each other. And in the middle of the chaos of technology and the pandemic, there was something you said off camera. I was watching it back. And as we were struggling together, you said the first lesson we have to learn is that laughter is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Laughter is medicine. And that lightened everybody up, and we had a great evening kind of after that.
Yeah, we can thank Ruben for that good laughter.
Yeah, exactly. So since then, we've had 7 other sessions. This is the last one, and we've been walking through the 7 traditional laws of the Kwantlen people. And Luke has been so kind to serve us in that. And today is our final one. We've covered health and happiness and generations, generosity, humbleness, and understanding. Mm-hmm. And today we're closing with forgiveness. And Luke's not been the only one who has shared in this series. In fact, Gisette, Luke's mom, joined mm-hmm. us for one to speak and another, I believe, to attend. Mm-hmm. And she shared some of her experience as well. And, we lost your mom back in the fall, and many of us were able to attend her celebration of life. But we wanted to start also tonight by honoring Gisette and her memory in our community and what she's even meant to this four-year journey, mm-hmm. as everything that you've received in many ways has been passed on from her.
Probably going to need some Kleenex too. Or anything,
yeah,
like that, so.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's special. It's very special.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's all community-driven, community guidance, and a lot of ups and downs during this time, but also learning that, I know once I told you I wanted to do this, I knew that I told you that we had to take our time and we can't rush it. You can't rush reconciliation, you can't rush friendships, and you can't rush these teachings too. So yeah, it's really proud of the work we've done here and taking our time and, you know, really practicing what we preach. Like authenticity. And I think that's what a lot of us are great at, is showing our authenticity. And that's why I've done this work with our friends here, our neighbors here. And we literally are neighbors. You can tell by the honk of my horn honks. So, you know, that's Luke honking at you. Yeah, it's just understanding what our gifts are and what our skill set is to help others in like an authentic way, and having that confidence, having that grace, having that beauty. That beauty is from my mom. The strength is from my mom. So I was very happy she was to be a part here. And there was like a lot of ups and downs, 100% from her breaking her hip the day that we wanted to do one of these events, the success of her gaining 100 pounds. She was here speaking the day after. So that was a lot of hard work to go from 77 pounds to 100 pound. That was it was beautiful work. And yeah, we all had to embrace it, those seven laws over there. But yeah, mom was the one who taught me how to forgive. And that's the only reason why I chose to forgive for our shared living experiences of being Indigenous and First Nations people is from mom, because she told me to forgive. I could still be a very angry, you know, stereotypical, you know, still live with all those stigmas, lacking community guidance. But she was the one who taught me to forgive based on our friendships, our relationships, and learning about reconciliation down the road with a whole bunch of organizations, churches, universities, politicians, school districts. Yeah, even, you know, sporting organizations too that we love and care for so much. And it's, I think that's, these are all things that are give, we're not giving contributions to our community, we're already doing it. And so when we continue to do these contributions and share our gifts and skill sets, that's when, you know, that's how we can show how successful we are. Even in times of death, we can celebrate and honor mom. We can still celebrate and honor her. And this is when we talk about eternal life. This is when eternal life is right here. Has always been here. So I'm just so proud that we can do this work together. I'm so proud I'm from Kwantlen First Nation, and that this is my history, this is mom's history, this is your history, this is our history. And we're doing it with a, you know, a good heart and a good mind. So yeah, I'm really proud of this work. And we'll find ways to come up with a fun topic again. And we'll keep it sport related. We'll do some, maybe something soccer related. We could do something fun. I think we could do something fun with that. We'll think of something. We're pretty smart people over here.
For sure. So let's dive into the law of forgiveness. And we saved that intentionally to last. Mm-hmm. You've guided us all the way through saying, I think that we should do this one and then this one and this one. And we're closing with forgiveness. Why do you want to close with that particular traditional law? And what does it mean to you?
Yeah, that's the, we close with, because it's the toughest one that anyone has to face. And what we learned, Mom and I, during our times of reconciliation, we started doing this work in 2008. That's when they announced the Truth and Reconciliation Commission by our federal government of Canada. I still remember living in Montreal at the time, at my parents' house. My dad was still alive. And then, my dad loved my mom so much. He was a French-Canadian. And he didn't want to be a French-Canadian. He was so in love with mom, he wanted to be Kwantlen. He wanted to be Kwantlen so bad, even to the point where he lied about being French, even at work. He would be at work. And then when he passed away in 2008, at his funeral, people thought that, found out there that he wasn't native. He was actually a French white man. They were so upset. And then we found out he made everyone at work call him chief. And he was trying so hard to get our hereditary chief, Chief Marilyn, to adopt him. And she didn't know that, but she would have done that, so... yeah, he loved mom so much, and mom loved him. And yeah, I've talked about that a lot in, like, you know, in other topics and other, you know, digital videos and other speaking engagements. I talked about that a lot of times. So it's like the toughest one we'll ever have to face. And what we've learned during Truth and Reconciliation, and the only reason why it's more out in the open is because of an organization like that, because we're now able to share our story publicly. And now people understand us and people believe us. And it wasn't always that case back then, especially in 2008, especially when I started working in the school district. Yeah, I remember my dad watching it, because he would watch the House of Commons every day. You know, Mr. Speaker, you know that? Mr. Speaker on CPAC, he loved watching that. He watched it every day. So he always watched about how they would talk about truth and reconciliation and how that began, and telling them that it's going to be starting. And mom was like very skeptical too, because she's still grieving about that. And so, yeah, a lot of mixed emotions there. But then over the time of doing that, is when we're sharing our stories, and it's now it's recorded in Canadian history. It's recorded in Kwantlen First Nation history. It's recorded in, you know, Indigenous communities. So we went from people never believing us, never wanting to listen to us, not wanting to listen to us with a good heart or good mind, and to now we're like academic references, which we've gone from a child to a survivor to a warrior to we're now a reference of what represents, you know, my mom, of strength, grace, beauty, warrior of the land, our matriarch. Just like how you have helped hundreds and thousands of people, it's the same story for mom, for my brother, and for me. And for my dad, for his love for her. No one will ever question that. No one ever questions that. And we also understand that it's the same, our story is the same strength and same value as people from that you help all across the world. I think it's so incredible that your work and your values and your strength can go and help people who are desperate for help, incredibly desperate. And you'll do it without blinking an eye. But also being able to do it just down the street from here, I think is just as equally beautiful. Fantastic. Just a phone call away, and like, you can help students out, you can help out a Kwantlen family, right? And then when I started coming here and listening to Dave and Ruben and Luke and everyone else, it was, yeah, it was exactly what we were talking about too, just using a little bit different language. Exact same message, exact same story. And listening to people who, you know, all have a beautiful story to share too, but maybe someone's not taking that time to listen to it. We can relate, we can understand. So that's why it's like my mom's story is recorded in Canadian history forever, for eternal life. And no one can ever question that. And it was done with a good heart and a good mind, just like what you guys are doing here. No one can ever question that. So this is the beautiful podcast where people can come back and listen to this. And it might take a little bit of time. That's okay. Might just be a few listeners. That's okay. But we have our friends and our supporters that we can count on to always be here. And that's what I think is the most beautiful thing. And how we're so close. That's a real luxury. Because it's not always the case. Now, but we can still do that good work. Even if you have to fly to a different country, even if you have to hide your identity, you can still do that beautiful, beautiful work. And just know that, yeah, this is good for my spirit, my soul, my heart. And know that, yeah, this is all part of eternal life. So that's it. Mom's still teaching us now. And your friends are still teaching you too. Helping you out with that. I think that's so lovely. But it's difficult. It's super hard. It's super hard. And that's why I think community guidance is key. Knowing where you're from and what your name is. But what if we can't share their names, right? You can still have other ways to help them out. And that's going to get us through our difficult times. Or sometimes, like I said, the sporting organization. That's why, you know, I love my sport so much. Or a school district. It could be your partner. Yeah, partners always play a key role of supporting you during your most difficult time. So I think that's so refreshing. Very refreshing.
So sometimes I hear people talk about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And they say that it's not a one-time thing, that it's perpetual. What's been your experience of forgiveness as you have tried to live in that spirit, even in a society where perhaps people aren't seeking to be forgiven even? What's that mm-hmm. experience like?
Yeah, that has to do with like authenticities and, you know, apologies play a key role too. But the apologies is such a difficult thing to be a part of because it's hard for people to believe. And then we'll just take like the Stephen Harper apology in House of Commons. And you talk about that with a lot of not even indigenous people. They'll say they're still upset about that because it's just like, yeah, just a bad, even though, you know, it has intentions. Yeah, people are still angry about it. People are not happy with apologies like that. And then when I work in the school districts and working with, you know, some staff who feel like apology letters or writing apologies or saying, tell them you're sorry or, you know, apologize for that, it's about as inauthentic as you can get. And everyone is trying to fix the problem, but no one's going to the roots of why this happened. They're not going to the core of why this happened. And that's what makes it, you know, so difficult for people to believe, is that you're still in this like vicious cycle. And then it's almost like validating their behavior, and it's ruining their relationship. It's ruining their ways to authentically present yourself. And I've worked with a lot of admin, a lot of professors, a lot of politicians too, who, how they present themselves, they don't feel like it was the right way. It's not them. So that plays a key role too on apologies. Like, it has to be an action. It has to be an action. It can't be done in like words or you know, just saying it, doing it in the House of Commons, saw how ineffective that was. But, I know this one lady, she would, when I would do this work, a lot of people would come to Mom and I and they'd be crying, just crying a lot, and then saying they're sorry for what happened, and that, like, what am I supposed to do? You know, Mom and I are here just trying to survive. We're just here trying to share our story. We're not here to change anything. But this one lady said, I'm sorry for what we continue to do to you. And that's what took me back, because I never heard that before. I would always hear, I'm sorry for what we did to you. But they never said, I'm sorry for what we continue to do to you. So that's why I try to tell the teachers and the professors that, like, yeah, you're in that cycle where, but it's not working. And then you don't understand why the students who are suffering for a variety of reasons aren't listening to you. So that's sometimes when we have to take a break from the academics and focus on our other gifts, our other gift sets. And that's why I created the Nutsamut Cup. It's like, one heart, one mind. And it's a teaching. I can't teach it to you. I can only tell you what it feels like. So it's, everyone has a different moment of success. And what Maman taught me and what Truth and Reconciliation taught is that every story contains the same value and same strength. So any of your teachings or the way you live your life is the same way. Is of it. There's different successes, and we can't evaluate them, and we can't test them. For some, it could be getting an A on their French test or them doing well in math, passing French. For others, it could be just showing up to school when you've been away for 54 days. Showing up to school is tough work. That's a success. Just surviving. You know, look how long mom survived with her illness and overcoming all those medical wonders, gaining 100 pounds, breaking her left and right hip, breaking her back, hitting her head constantly, Parkinson's. It was wild, but yeah, she was still on there, but it was what Parkinson's got to her. Even her mind was still strong. That's what the doctor said to that day. It was just the Parkinson's that got her. So it's super cruel, super, super cruel. But it's, you have to look at it as a way of like, it was an honor to care for mom. That was my gift. To live right beside her, right? 150 steps, 150 years, and 150 steps. That was my, I counted it, man. It was a lot of long nights. It's a lot of long days of just wanting her to survive. So, yeah, 150 years of pain, but 150 steps of helping my mom. So that was a gift. And I didn't look at it as a, and it was super hard, it was super difficult, but that was a gift, and it was an honor. As painful as it was, you know, not wanting to put her in like a federal, another federal institution, so I convinced a lot of people to keep her home. And it was expensive, but they paid for everything. And I'm forever grateful for that. Same what we're doing with grandma right now. You know? So, yeah, she's still going strong. She's cutthroat grandma. Like a lot of federal politicians are super scared of her. They still are. Yeah, all the fishing people, yeah, they don't question her when she's out on the river. They just let her be. Ah, that's Maureen. Let her go. She's fine. Because she'll chop them down and all that stuff. But yeah, it's different forms of success, but it's all equal strength, equal value, and then someone has to teach you how to forgive. I could still be angry and upset. If I lived in a different city, it would be completely different because I wouldn't have the right community guidance. That I know. Especially when mom passed. I'd be in a whole different scenario. It wouldn't be healthy. It'd be very predictable of how people deal with it. Be a lot of anger, a lot of sadness, a lot of dependence too. So the fact that I can do this with a healthy heart and a healthy mind and knowing that I have my friends and neighbors here and my partner, that's a godsend gift. Absolutely, 100%, so that we can continue this work. Even now, everything we talk about, eternal life, it's here. We don't have to wait. Because it's here and we're doing this beautiful work together. And the fact that I can continue doing this work with, you know, mental health and mental strength is incredible. And that's why we do what we do. And yeah, it's just being able to have that strength and saying that what I did for Mama, I'm forever grateful. And she couldn't believe she lived to 81 either. She was so proud. So proud. And all the doctors would always come and see her, and the nurses would come and see her. And she was still helping people when she was sick too. She was still helping people. Yeah, even parents. She was doing Zooms and all that stuff. Even though she would do it for 5 minutes and go have a nap. It was... Yeah, we have to be able to say, hey, We forgive you because that's what Mama wants. We come to this church because this is what Mama wanted. Same with her. We have to kind of build that confidence and strength and not be nervous about it. Not be ashamed. You can tell people who you are and what you do. And I think that's the key one there. I remember even talking to my auntie Lou, man. She's the funniest lady ever. And then she was visiting Mom over at her house, and I was telling her, oh, I got to go. It was like Sunday morning. I was like, I wanted to come here and listen to some music and listen to you guys speak and be around friends. And I told her, I said, oh, Auntie, I got to go, but I'm going to go to the church down the street. And she went like this, good. And so when her says, yeah, that's what she wanted. And I was like, all right, I know I'm doing the right thing now. Because my family, I wanted the family support from that. Even though of how we've been treated, but to show that we can work together with a good heart and good mind and understand what our skill set are and want to do it with confidence. I feel I'm so proud of that, even when I'm grieving, when I continue to grieve, so that I can do it with great strength and then I can show that strength to others. Because this is what the students need to see. They need to see like authentic teachings. They need to see that that they're welcomed. They need to see that they should be able to be proud of who they are or who they love. And that it should never be questioned. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, not doing well in math or science, but maybe their other gifts are somewhere else. And they're going to do super well with that. All they need is compassion and kindness and empathy. And then you're going to be super successful. You can have the greatest education ever. You can have a PhD. But if you're not kind and caring and empathetic, it's going to be hard for people to listen. People are going to have a hard time listening to you. Yeah, and then you'll wonder, wow, I spent all that money and no one's listening to me. Maybe just show your compassion, your empathy, and your kindness. Doesn't matter what, if someone says there's something wrong with you because of your designation, now you can prove them wrong just by being kind and caring. I think about my cousin Nathan next door. Yeah, his mom passed away 1 year ago last week. And she lives right next door. She was only, 51. So it's Nathan and his daughter and his sister living by themselves. And Nathan has high functioning autism. But I always say we all have our own tisms. This is my friend telling me. We all have our own tisms. So I don't know, maybe, yeah, I just can't stop talking about soccer. So it's good to be predictable, right? That's my tism. I just want to talk about soccer nonstop. That's what people hire me to do. And then I'm like, all right, let me try to find soccer into indigenous culture and then music into indigenous culture. And then we'll call it success. So that's what I've been able to do. That's my tism. His is that, yeah, he's super kind. He's super empathetic. He's caring. Very sweet. Willing to learn. Always trying to find employment. And he shows up extremely early to sporting events. So that's his tism, is that when the Canucks started playing, he would be outside waiting in front of Rogers Arena at 11 a.m. And he would take the bus all the way from Fort Langley. He'd just be there waiting, looking around. That was his thing, waiting. But he just messaged me before I got here, and he says that, he's going to have a job opportunity with the BC Lions. It's like, job orientation. So even though he has autism and saying that he won't do well in society. He used his compassion, his kindness, and someone was so proud of him, so excited for him and his passion for sports, about showing up early, that they BC Lions want him to work at BC Place. So he says, yeah, I got my job orientation this Wednesday. Someone from like the Langley Youth Hub set it up because they see how he's just so well focused on that and super sweet, and compassion and empathy got him that job. And he's in the sports world now. So I said, he's an Antone. My mom's an Antone. And then, you know, there's my work I do with the Vancouver Whitecaps too, which I'm super proud of. That's like a boyhood dream come true. So really excited about that. Just how I wanted him to feel that too. That's his nuts and butts. Like at 21, his mom probably set that up too when she passed. And yeah, it's, you know, he's struggling with that because he's so young and his mom passed. So how do I feel when I got an extra 30 years with my mama? I'm forever grateful with that. But yeah, just that compassion and kindness will get us in so many places. It doesn't matter education or whatever people will say about you. See, when they talk about that, that's just for them to understand. And I know I heard, we went to go hear Gabor Mate speak in Langley, and he would talk about how he doesn't really believe in like acronyms or designations. They just tell, but they never tell what's wrong with them. So they would say, Luke has ADHD. But what does that mean? Well, it means he has trouble focusing, probably can't really work well on building relationships. Yeah, well, what's wrong with him? Well, he has ADHD. But what can we do? And he said, well, he doesn't work well with people and has trouble focusing and can't build social relationships. But what's wrong with Luke? He's got ADHD. Can't work on relationships, can't build them, and it's just that vicious cycle going around where there's no, it's just all those designations, but, you know, there's really no root of the problem. So it really goes down to overcoming that with all our community guidance, all our strengths, and, yeah, willing to forgive all those who have mistreated us or continue to mistreat us. And yeah, and just become friends in a good way where we can talk about things we love. Yeah, so that's why I think sports is such a huge thing. And you know, our church community is huge because it's already contributions that we know are working. Our friendship is working, so. And just like how I tell Ruben with his son, happy anniversary every year with Liverpool beating Barcelona. What year are we at now? Anniversary number 5? Oh, so good. I can't wait till he's in his 40s with his family, walking along Glover. Happy anniversary, Sonny. And then he gives me a, like, you can't speak to an elder that way. And he's like introducing me to his children. It's like moments like that I look forward to with all the beauty and happiness. So yeah, there's that.
So maybe one final question and we can move to some other elements for tonight. But mm-hmm. I want to come back to your mother. Mm-hmm. Whenever I heard her share, either it just being speaking with her kind of one-on-one or in the occasions where she shared publicly, there was such a grace about her. And she would always talk about prayer, mm-hmm. as needing to pray. And I'm just wondering, I imagine that has an element to do with her ability to forgive. What else did she pass on to you in teaching you the lesson of how to forgive? Mm-hmm. And what role has prayer played in that or other things you saw her doing through her life that helped her to live in a posture of forgiveness, because the last thing she came across as was bitter or resentful, as much pain as she'd suffered. Mm-hmm. She lived in a posture of forgiveness. And how did she show you how to do that?
She always spoke about how she lived an incredible life. It was like a long, long, long time before she got sick. And she always talked about how she lived a good life, and she was very thankful for what she did. And there's also times from our hereditary chief, Chief Marilyn, about how she's forever grateful for everything, even as much as she's attacked constantly, even from our own family, about how she would never change anything. She would never change anything, even the hardships, everything that we've been through. Because it gives us a time to show our resiliency, our strength, our grace, our beauty, and everything that we practice, we're living in real life. And there's going to be times where you're so desperate for help. So desperate for help, like when your family's ill. And you're so desperate that, yeah, that's where prayer comes so effective. And I'm still learning too. I'm still learning how to, you know, come to church and all that. I'm not something I want to. There's like certain parts of that. Like, I don't know how to pray. You know, I'm not really don't understand communion yet, so I don't really take part in that. But I know that's okay. But yeah, that was whenever Mom was ill, she always asked people to pray for her because it worked. It sure worked. That's why she recovered so much. And, you know, I would always send you and Ruben messages, and it was a miracle. It really does work. And sometimes you need that during your most difficult times, even when you don't believe it. Even when you don't believe it, there's always that skepticism. And that's okay. But yeah, it's I know, because that's my shared living experience. And that's knowing that someone I could count on to help us during the most difficult times, or have experience with that. And that's what I want to share with others too, and just show I'm only interested in talking about reconciliation. I'm only interested in talking about my gifts and my skill sets. I'm only interested in creating new friends. That's all I want. I'm not here to talk about the past hardships. I'm not here to talk about how we were mistreated. I'm not here to talk about how people continue to mistreat us. I'm here to create new friendships. And that's what Mom always wanted. That's what she taught me. So every time we would come, even if it was a small group like this, we'd get back in the car and she'd say, "Look, we made some new friends." So we sure did. And that's what I think that's what's brought so much success to us. And that's what I tell the school district, that's what I tell the Vancouver Whitecaps, and that's what I tell other organizations. This is not a one-off, it's not a one teaching, this is continual work as friends, building our friendships. Like even people who I'm still gonna work with the district and all this stuff when I retire. I'll just charge a little bit more, but that's something to look forward to. So yeah, and I think that's beautiful, is that we can get to that point of having literally nothing. Like my mom had nothing. No electricity. The first time she saw a flushing toilet was when she went to Indian residential school. So yeah, and just working hard. Like that's where my mom and my dad gave me that work ethic, to want to work really hard and continue that. And Mom's the one who taught me we're just here to build new friendships. That's what reconciliation and forgiveness is really about, is friendship. in an authentic way where you don't have to question it, right? You don't have to question about your partner. You just know that's love, right? And that I can count on them. I can count on my family. I think that's the beautiful part about forgiveness.
Well, like your mom said it best, and you've made many friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a smaller circle tonight, but there's been many in our community that have turned up to one or two or others of the conversations. And I know for me, when we started having these conversations, I became increasingly aware of my own ignorance and what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the very beginning of it, we started it, I think calling it what we did, when neighbors become friends, we've just come full circle to that reality. And that, I think, is in no small part, and probably 99% of the reason, is because of your mom's legacy and mm-hmm. what you've carried with it, and the openness and the generosity and the patience that you've brought to all of this. And just want you to know how grateful we are for this. I mean, the friendship is ongoing and it's all over the place and we're honking at each other and it's great. But particularly these 8 sessions over 4 years, Luke, thank you so much for your generosity and your grace. Mm-hmm. And even fielding questions from people at different times that have been awkward, and you've been open and honest, and that must take some backbone. It must take some grace. So thank mm-hmm. you for being present and being with us. Thank you for what you've given. There's environments in which you go and you receive and you turn up and they pass something along to you. And in this environment, you haven't done that. You've come together as friends and as neighbors in this area. And that speaks volumes as to what it means to be a part of a community mm-hmm. beyond exchanges. So thank you for how you've given in that way. And there's a long good future ahead. So this is my final question for you. I said that was the last one, but I have one more.
That's okay.
It's a very simple question. In your experience of life right now, and as you think about your family and you think about your future, today on the 27th of May, mm-hmm. 4 years later, what's giving you hope for the future right now, for you, your family, as you look forward? What's giving you hope?
I'm just really excited about a lot of fun new activities. I'm really looking forward to us continuing our contributions to the community. I'm looking forward to us just continuing our confidence. And that's what I think DJing really helped me with, that, building that confidence and learn how to mix with doing it. It's just like public speaking. I never know what I'm going to say until I get here. That's kind of like mixing records. Like, I know what I'm going to start with, but I don't know what I want to say in the middle. And it's kind of like records. You just kind of go with the flow of that and having that confidence that, you know, hey, I can do this and I can do it well. So that's what I feel with everyone here, is that we do our work really, really well, man. And that's what I love the most. And it only took, people understand who we are. People understand what we represent, and no one can ever question that. So I'm looking forward to a lot of fun activities. I'm looking forward to making new friends and continuing the friends, and understanding that not everyone will feel the same way. But that's okay. I'm not mad about that. I just want to focus on my family and friends in our circle that supports us. It's a pretty high support, but understand that there's a small group of people who aren't going to be on board, and I welcome that. So it's just how it is. And I sent an email to everyone, like all the staff I work with at the Whitecaps and BC Place. I sent them all an email today just thanking them for all that hard work and all that energy and all that passion, and them sharing their strengths and gifts to do this beautiful day for us, even though they were being attacked. Wow, like consistently attacked. Didn't matter what they did. People, there's going to be a small group, but we need those people there. We need them there because that's what keeps us going. And even though we have the people who will be here every single time, just like You know how we are with the Whitecaps. But we also need people who are going to be rude too. They're our friends too. We're still going to love them with a good heart and good mind. It'll just drum out their sound and energy in the front row. And we're still going to help them. So that's what I'm really looking for. And I just wanted to thank them for, as I'm really looking forward to doing some really fun activities with you. Because they need that support and we need their support too. So even when they're rude to us. So that's what I'm really excited about. And plus June is next week. So that's it's going to be a lot of fun stuff going on for our, National Indigenous Peoples Month. So the fact that we can say that and not just one day, not just one week, and we can do it right here, and that, a lot of people want to be a part of it, woo, it's beautiful. So, I'm looking forward to that.
If I were to sum that up, I hear someone full of purpose, and purpose is giving them hope, and that's pretty cool. Thank you for sharing that, Luke.
You're welcome.
We're going to complete the podcast moment for this now, for those who've been listening to that, and this is more for just our own room here, but we're going to take a moment.
Good job, guys. Thank you for listening. I hope I was on YouTube. I've never been on TikTok, but hope the TikTok people are listening.